Gedvach Bruchim Habayim, everybody, Rabbosai, tonight we begin tape number 10. We're continuing the topic of Min HaEnoshi. We learned last week about the tug of war between the Guf and the Neshama. And we learned there are two ways to win a tug of war. Way number one is if you take your opponent and you pull him over to your side. And the second way is if you pull so hard on the rope that your opponent lets go and gives up. The Guf and the Neshama are at war, tug of war. If the Neshama wins, it actually pulls the Guf over to the side of Kedusha. The Neshama wins, it pulls the Guf over to the side of Kedusha. And it's a holy Guf, and it becomes worthy of accepting the reward, the Ruchniyazdika energy of Tchiyas HaMesim and Liyosid Lavoy. Since the Guf was involved in doing the mitzvahs, the Guf is involved in getting the reward. And we learn that according to the Ramchal, it's a machloikis rishonim, but the Ramchal holds like those shitas, which say that the ultimate reward for our mitzvahs is not in the world of neshamas, it's not as a neshama without a body, it's as a body, a guf together with a neshama, liyosid lavoy in the days of Mashiach. This is there's a vort I heard about this from Rashiva. It's pasuk in Bchukosai. Says v'nasati mishkani b'soichachem v'loy sigal nafshi eschem. It's talking about the mishkan. The Ramban asks Akasha that why do we need the pasuk to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be disgusted by Klal Yisrael's presence. V'nasati mishkani b'soichachem, I will live amongst you, my shechina will be there, v'loy sigal nafshi eschem, and I won't be disgusted by you. And the Ramban says, al pi pashtus, what a pshat, and he says that the explanation to this is al pi soid. But here I once heard a teretz, that the pshat could be that the chiddush of the pasuk is, v'loy sigal nafshi eschem, it means even the guf. As if Hashem would say that I wouldn't be disgusted with your neshamas, with your personalities, with your identities, then you'd have a big kasha. But here it's talking about the gashmiyastika guf. Even the guf becomes holy. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk over here. And that's how you need a chiddush. Now, could be the reason the Ramban didn't want to say this, was because, as we said previously, that when the pasuk refers to eschem, refers to you, it's very likely that the pasuk does not include your guf. Your guf is not you. Your guf is just a levush. And that's meant literally. We had that in the name of the Chayvus Halvavus. That when somebody refers to you, he doesn't mean your guf, just like he doesn't mean your shoes. And it's unlikely that the pasuk would mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I won't be disgusted by your shoes, or by your jacket, or by your hat. It's to eschem means you. And if the pasuk says eschem, it means your ruchniyistika components, your neshama. Which explains why the Ramban perhaps didn't want to accept this teretz. Well, he had to say al pisoid. But in any case, we do know that if the neshama wins the tug of war, so the guf becomes kodesh, even though it started off gashmiyistik. And tonight, we're going to see what happens if the guf wins. What happens to the neshama. So we begin, chelik aleph, perik shlishi, towards the end of Ois Beis. Im yaniach ha'odom shiyinatzach boi ha'choymer, if a person allows the material part of him, the gashmias, to beat the ruchnias, hine yashpil ha'guf, the guf will go down, v'sishpal nishmosoi imoy, and the neshama will go down with it. V'yihye oisoi ha'odom bilti hogun l'shleimus, he will be unworthy of perfection, v'nidchem imenu chas v'sholom, and it will elude him, chas v'sholom. He will be thrown away, will be separated from perfection. U'l'odom hazeh, for this person, meaning we're talking about the human species, yecholis lahashpil chomroi lefnei sichloi v'nishmosoi, as we said, it is also in his ability to conquer the material at the hand of the neshama and the seichel, v'liknoi shleimusoi k'moshe zacharnu. So first, we had a diuk over here. We mentioned that when the Ramchal describes the two possible scenarios, scenario A, the neshama beats the guf, he says, v'oifinj im tigbar ha-neshama, if the neshama overcomes the guf. When he describes scenario B, when the guf wins, he doesn't say im tigbar ha-guf or im tigbar ha-choymer. He says, im yaniach ha-odom shi-natzach poi ha-choymer. If a person allows the choymer to overcome, which means, im yaniach ha-odom, if a person just sits passively, what's going to happen is the guf will overcome. The default value of a person that sits passively in this world is that his guf is going to overcome his neshama. If he wants the neshama to overcome the guf, he has to be proactive. That's clear in the Ramchal's language. But he says here, Yash yishpal haguf etishpal nishmoso imoy, the neshama will fall together with the guf. Now, it's clear in several places in Chazal, in the Zohar HaKadosh particularly, that if a person is not zoiche, if a person does averis, his neshama al yoina ends up being only a nefesh habahamis. We know that a person has two neshamas. There are many. There are subcategories. But there are two main categories. There's the nefesh habahamis and the neshama al yoina. Neshama ha'al-yoyna is the part that's involved in the tug of war for the side of good against the nefesh ha'bahamis that's on the side of the guf. And it's possible that the neshama could feel so uncomfortable inside the body of a rasha that slowly but surely the neshama disappears and a person can mamish be left with his nefesh ha'bahamis. In fact, different levels of neshama people get as per their actions. The more mitzvahs and maisim toivim a person does, the higher levels of neshama he receives, and the more neshamas he receives. The Zohar says, they say this by all the bar mitzvah speeches. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Atleisa Shnin, Ishtadluse de bar nash bahu nefesh chiyoso. Until a person's bar mitzvah, he only has his nefesh habahamis. Means the nefesh that keeps him alive. Mitzleisa shninu le'elo, iboy lemevi zako, yahavinen le hahi nishmosa kadisho ilo. If the person is zoiche, we give him a neshomo hel yoino. If he's zoiche. In order to be able to do mitzvahs. And it says further, Kachu ad hayoim, Misha'ena yoidei umakir ba'avoidas boirai, somebody that doesn't know and is not involved in avoidas Hashem, ve'enoi oisik b'toira, and he doesn't learn Torah, hu yeshloi nefesh chaya v'loi neshama. This person has a nefesh habahamis, but he does not have a neshama ha'el yoina. He walks around like a cow. Now he said, even though a human being and a cow both have a nefesh ha-bahamis, still the human nefesh ha-bahamis is higher than that of a cow. But the neshama ha-al-yoyna, the thing that makes a person, a thing that makes a Jew, and the neshama of a goy we're going to speak about later, when we get to Chelek Gimel in the Ramchal, in Derech Hashem. But for now, let's just talk generically that the nefesh ha'al-yoyna, the neshama ha'al-yoyna, a person gets through his mitzvahs and ma'isim toivim and through his learning Torah. If he does not learn Torah and do mitzvahs, he just doesn't have his neshama ha'al-yoyna. There's also a possibility that the neshama ha'al-yoyna can get switched into a nefesh ha'bahamis. There's Mogen Avram in Simen Mem Vav that asks Akasha. Mogen Avram. We make a brocha every morning. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Yasani Goy. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Yasani Isha. And Baruch Hashem Shelo Yasani Oved. Mogen Avram asks Akasha. says that if you're eating an apple, let's say, you make a bracha bari pri ha'etz, and you don't make another bari pri ha'etz until you're eating another apple, by another meal. If that's true, that you don't make two brachas on the same thing, one after the other, unless there's some kind of hefsik, a distinction between them, why every morning do we make a bracha, shloyos ani goy, and isha an eved? If yesterday I wasn't a goy, today I'm also not a goy, so we should make once in our life shloyos ani goy, eved, all right, maybe. Somebody's going to say that if somebody was captured and almost sold as a slave, maybe he can make a shloyos, but shloyos ani goy, shloyos ani isha, you make once in your life and that's it. And the Mogen Avraham says that we can answer according to what the Mekubalim say. That every night when a person sleeps, his neshama, or rather a part thereof, is released and goes up to Shemayim. And it comes back into him. It is possible that when the neshama goes out, it stays there. And the neshama that enters is not the same one. He can receive the neshama of a goy. He could receive the neshama of an isha. And he could receive the neshama of an eved. Now an eved, incidentally, is a different neshama. Because we know even a Jewish Eved is not called Eved Yehudi or Eved Yisrael. A Jewish Eved is called Eved Ivri. Now the word Ivri is not used in the Torah except in two types of places. Number one, when Jews are talking to Goyim, like Yoina said Ivri Anoichi. They want to know who he was. It's a way to identify himself. The Goyim referred to us as Hebrews. We'll translate it. Or two, regarding an Eved Ivri. The word Yisroel is not used, it's Ivri. And the pshat is, the Mephoshim say, because the Eved Ivri is not chayiv in tayag mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah that an Eved Ivri is not obligated in. The mitzvah loisa say of marrying a shivcha. He's allowed to do it. So he goes down from the level of Yisroel to the level of Ivri. Ivri is not a flattering name. Yisroel is, Yehudi is, but not Ivri. Ivri meant Me'ever HaNohar Avram Avinu lived is a people, is a geographical identification of the Jews, people that lived on the other side of the river. And when it's between ourselves, Jew to Jew, or Hashem to Klal Yisrael, never use such a term, except regarding an Eved. It's a different amount of mitzvahs, a different neshama. So we make a bracha every morning, because every morning it's a hefsik. We could have gotten the neshama of an eved, a goy, or an isha. Now somebody's going to ask me a question. So how do you know you didn't? How do you know you didn't get it? So I'll tell you, whenever somebody learns this Mogen Avraham, they immediately ask that question. So this question is asked by the Ramak. And the Ramak Siddur, he has this pshat and he asks the question. And he says there are two simonim for somebody who his neshama was nischalef, was traded for the neshama of a goy. Simon number one is if he makes the bracha with seeming reluctance. I can tell you, make a bracha, shloyos ani goy, you're supposed to be proud, right? The guy makes a bracha, shloyos ani goy, yeah, nishnisht. And he makes a bracha with not the greatest amount of enthusiasm or kavana, that's possible, it's a red flag. It's possible that his neshama turned into the neshama of a guy. Or, he says, sometimes, you see a person who's on a certain madrega, and suddenly, and without warning, boom, suddenly he goes down in madrega. Normally when you go down in madrega, it's a slow process. You do one ave, right, first the Eitz Sahara, says, asay kach, viach kach, asay kach. First it says to sit, then it says, but sometimes a person suddenly goes down many, many madregas. And it's unusual, says the Ramak, that's a red flag. It could very well be. The reason is because suddenly a guy woke up one day literally with the neshama of a goy. Now he still has the status of a Jew and he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs. But because of his actions, The neshama switched. He ends up with the neshama of a goy. There's a Gemara in Nida, on the Aflamid, says like this, Neshama shenosan b'cho tahirihi, imata mishamro b'tahara mutav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take care of your neshama, if you watch its purity, is good. V'im lav hareini noitlo mimcho. If not, I'm going to take it away from you. Now, pashtus, it means you'll die. But not all Rishoyim die. There are a lot of Rishoyim living here for a long time. Teretz is, Poshet Pshat, it's talking about the Neshama HaLyona, and the Neshama HaLyona literally gets taken away. For all we know, a person can end up with the Neshama of a Goy, Rachmon Letzlan. There are 613 mitzvahs. And these 613 mitzvahs correspond to the 613 parts of the neshama. And the 613 parts of the guf. Because every part of a guf has another part of the neshama. If a person is missing one of the 248 mitzvahs asay, he's missing an aver in his neshama. Even if he has a neshama, now we're seeing that a neshama can be incomplete. If a person's missing if a person violates one of the loisa says, one of 365 loisa says, then he has a neshama, but he becomes a balmum. If the mitzvahs asay give the person Avorim, and complete the neshama. The loisa say, person violates, and he says, neshama is mamash balmum. The Arizal says, this is pshat in the pasuk in Koheles. Mu'uvis lo yuchal iskoin, v'chisorin lo yuchal lehimonois. Mu'uvis lo yuchal iskoin means something broken that cannot be fixed. Because that's if a person violates a loisa say. His neshama is broken. And if a person doesn't do tshuva and he dies in that state, it can no longer be fixed. V'chisorin la'yuchel lehimonois, something that's missing can never be counted. Don't say broken can't be fixed. Something that's missing, it's not there, can't be counted. That's if a person did not fulfill one of the mitzvah saseh. A person dies in that state, it can never be counted. And he says further, another pasuk in Koheles, ki ein maaseh v'cheshbin v'das. There are three things a person needs in order to have a complete neshama. Maaseh, cheshbin v'das. Maaseh represents the mitzvah saseh. Cheshbin is talking about the mitzvah lo saseh. And das is talking about the knowledge of Torah. Comes out that kol zman that a person did not fulfill tayag mitzvahs, even if he's a tzaddik, he's not a tzaddik gomor. It's not for nothing, he says, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed so hard that he should go into Eretz Yisrael. He did tefillas, the gematri of Eschanan, in order to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. The reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so much to complete his neshama with all tayag mitzvahs. You miss one mitzvah, it's a terrible chesaron. It's not the same. More, even if you do the mitzvahs, you still have to have Torah knowledge. If you don't have Torah knowledge, the neshama is still not complete. What's considered Torah knowledge? You can't be an Am Ha'aretz. An Am Ha'aretz has no chelik in Olam Haba, even if he does mitzvahs. And it's not a punishment. There's a vote from Rabbi Chonon on this. Rabbi Chonon says that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Mishnah beginning of Chelik, it lists several people that have no Chelik in Olam Haba. And Am Haaretz is not in the list. Rabbi Chonon explains that the reason why this Mishnah is in Sanhedrin altogether is because Masechta Sanhedrin deals with punishments that Sanhedrin gives, that Sanhedrin meets out. The last Mishnah, or the last Perek, it deals with punishments of Ein L'Chel D'Olam Habo, just like previously we dealt with punishment of Misa, for instance. Therefore, the only people listed, the only people that are going to appear in the Mishnah are those people regarding whom they are not having a Chelik in Olam Haba as a punishment. But if it's not a punishment, they're not going to be there. And the Am Ha'aretz doesn't get a Chelik in Olam Haba, not because it's a punishment, but because it's not possible to have Olam Haba without the Or HaTorah. In other words, if you have a cow, I tell you a cow has no Chelik in Olam Haba, it's not a punishment. What do you want from a cow? It's not his fault he's a cow. It's not a punishment. Just a cow doesn't have a chelik in olam habo. If I tell you a rock has no chelik in olam habo, it's not a punishment. You're not going to see elu shein lehem chelik in olam habo, cows. It lists goyim even in the Mishnah that have no chelik in olam habo, which is mashma that a goy has some sort of chelik in olam habo. And again, we're going to get to that in Perek Gimel. The Mefarshim point that out there. But it only lists those people who lose their chelik in olam haba as a punishment. But in Am Haaretz, it's like a cow. Just doesn't have anything to receive olam haba with. And he says further, the Arizal, that not only that, but even if you do all the tayag mitzvahs, if you don't do them besimcha, with ahava, you have still not cleaned out your neshama completely. Cleaning out your neshama from completely is a much higher madrega. It says, this is madrega of David HaMelech, libi cholol bekirbi. David HaMelech, we know it says that he didn't even have a yetzahara left. I'm going to discuss this in a moment, what that means. David HaMelech cleaned out his neshama so much that he didn't even have a yetzahara left. But we need to do a complete job in this world. Mitzvah sasei, mitzvah sloi sasei, good midas, v'yahava, besimcha, and limur ha-toira. Otherwise, we end up a balmomo, we end up choser. The neshama of Arasha, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, is uncomfortable with mitzvahs. He's pained by mitzvahs. Because it's so ill, the neshama is so sick, so confused, that a mitzvah is actually painful for it. It's like a person. A person can be so sick that good things, healthy food, can be distasteful to him. That's a sickness. And the neshama too can have such a sickness. The neshama of a rasha is disgusted by the fulfilling of mitzvahs. The Svasemes says that the word chet, which literally means chesaron, he mentioned this when Yaakov told Lavan he wasn't missing any animals that he watched, he uses lashon chet. Rashi says on the spot, when the archers of Shevet Binyamin says they could hit a hair's breadth v'lo yachtiu, they'd never miss. Chet means literally to miss something. The reason why it's used regarding a sin is because of the statements in the Zohar that we mentioned, that through a person's actions that determines how much of a neshama he has. When a person does averis, the neshama becomes less and less, it becomes reduced within a person. And that's why an averis is called a chet. Because it causes an emptiness, a hole, cause part of your neshama to be missing. There's a chazal in Ovais Reb Nosson, Perek Yud Gimel. It goes like this. Hu hoya oimer, tzadikim, noitel mehem yetzahara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the yetzahara from tzadikim, v'noisein lohem yetzer toiv. And Hashem gives them a yetzer toiv. Shneamar libi cholol bekirbi. David HaMelech said that. It's in Tehillim Kapitel Kuf Tes, and it means that he no longer had a netiyah to do evil. David HaMelech no longer had a Yetzirahara. And the Ovoist Reb Noson says that Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives them the status of David HaMelech. They lose their Yetzirahara and they get a Yetzir Toiv in its place. Rishoyim, it says, Noitel Mehem Yetzir Toiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Yetzir Toiv from them. V'noisen Lehem Yetzirahara. And Hashem gives them an extra Yetzirahara. It's mashma from here that not only does the tzaddik possess the original Yetzer Toiv that he was born with or that he got at his bar mitzvah, but he gets another Yetzer Toiv that's traded for his Yetzer Hara when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away. And this will be a mocker to a Rashi in Zachariah, famous Rashi. Rashi says that b'zchus ha-Torah, a person can have two Yetzer Toivs. The Yetzer Hara becomes a Yetzer Toiv b'zchus the Torah. Vayoymer eile shnei b'nei ha-Yitzor ho-oimdim al adon kol ha-aretz. Says Rashi, shnei b'nei ha-Yitzor, Yetzer Toiv v'Yetzer Hara, mishapech l'toiv b'zchus ha-Torah. And could be the opposite also, Rachman Litzlan, the end of the Ovis Reb Noson. Imagine a person has two Yetzer Toivs. There's Yushalmi, however, that seems to contradict this. Yushalmi in Soita says, Avraham also Yetzera Toiv. Avram Avinu made his Yetzahara good. He did like Rashi and Zechariah. Umay Taimo, where do we see this? It says a posuk in Ezra, it's in Nehemiah, Tess. Because we all know there is no such thing as Sefer Nehemiah. It's all really Ezra. Matzosa es levovoi ne'eman lefanecho. It's talking about Avram Avinu. Amar Rav Acha. Hifshirimoi v'charoisimoi habris. Avol David, says the Yishalmi. David HaMelech, v'yhoyo yochol boy. David HaMelech could not conquer his Yetzer Hara and make it into a Yetzer Toiv. Instead, v'horgoi b'lvovoi. He slaughtered it. Ma'ataima, where does it say this? V'libi cholol b'kirbi. So, from the Yushalmi, it seems that David HaMelech was not on the madrega of changing his Yetzer Hara into a Yetzer Toiv. He was on the madrega of destroying his Yetzer Hara. In Ovis Reb Noson, it says clearly that he gets a Yetzer Toiv instead of a Yetzer Hara. So which is it? Now, al pi pashtus, you could say it's not really a stira. You could say that David HaMelech killed his Yetzer Hara. He was not able to transform the Yetzer Hara into a Yetzer Toiv like Avram did, but afterwards, since Bizchus, he killed his Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him another Yetzer Toiv. You could say that. But there's a better teretz here. We mentioned that there are two types of Yetzer Hara. There's a Yetzer Hara that consists of a person's physical body and his physical nefesh habahamis, the chumrius of a person, the gashmius of a person, the dirt that a person is made up of, causes him to lean towards gashmius. Then there's another Yetzer Hara, that's a malach min hashamayim, that's sent to trick a person into doing averis. And we said that when it says, Kol ha-godl m'chaveira yitzroi godl mimenu, as a person gets greater, his Yetzer Hara gets greater, it does not mean that his Yetzer Hara, that is made up of his, the gashmius of a person gets bigger. It's not true. That gets smaller. As the person gets bigger and bigger, the body becomes holier and holier, but rather, in order to even out the playing field, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthens the Malach Yetzirah in order to maintain the person's Bechira, like similar to V'Yechazik Hashem Esleif Paroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens the heart of the Tzaddik just enough to maintain his Bechira. But it's always the second Yetzirah that the tzaddik has in greater measure. And therefore, it's very possible that the Yetzahara, mitzad the teva, the Yetzahara that represented by Gashmius, Dovid HaMelech also was able to transform that to good. And that's what it means, tzaddikim noitlin mimenu Yetzahara v'noistin lohem Yetzah toiv. It means that they change their teva, they change their nature to kedusha, like it says about David HaMelech in Chazal. Omar David HaMelech v'ragli hoilchois oisi lebotei kinesiois ubotei medroshois. Says that David HaMelech he wanted to go, even if he wanted to go to the street, his physical body, his legs would take him to go to the Beis Medrash and to the Beis HaKnesses, which means that the part of David HaMelech that was changed from Yetzahara to Yetzatoiv was poshut his gashmius diketeva. His physical legs were changed to a Yetzatoiv. The physical legs actually took David HaMelech into the Beis Medrash. But the Yetzahara of the Malach that tricks people, that David HaMelech was not able to transform it into good. The only thing David HaMelech could do to that Yetzahara was to block it out, was to slaughter it, was to train himself not to listen to it. But Avram Avinu, even the Malach, he was able to transform to good. Because possible, that could be what Yushalmi means. Because it is possible to even take a Malach and transform it. Says that Moshe Rabbeinu did that. To the Samach Mem, came to get Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when attacked Moshe Rabbeinu, it found itself doing what it didn't never intended to do, the Samach Mem. It's possible, if a person zoicha, he could even overcome the Rotzen of a Malach, even the Rotzen of a Malach Yetzahara. And that's what it means, that Avram Avinu was able to change the Yetzahara to good. Means even that Malach he was able to grab a hold of and change the Malach Yetzahara to good. It could very well be that Avram did it on the derech of what the Gemara says, B'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzreich, to serve Hashem with your Yetzahara. So it could very well be that this Yetzahara was actually functioning as a Yetzahara, but Avram Avinu was able to completely take the forces of the Yetzahara and to do avodas Hashem with it. But that's talking about the Malach Yetzahara. The Gashmiyazdik Yetzahara, that even Dovr HaMelech was able to conquer and make it into good. He was able to take his body and make it Kaddish. That's Mashma from Chazal, when it says, Raglai hoilchois oisi lebotei kinesiyos lebotei medroshois. Now the question is, if Avram Avinu, if David HaMelech had no Yetzahara, if it's Libichol Bekirbi, how do they get reward? How do they have Bechira? There are many answers to this question. But it's Mefurish of Tosfos. Tosfos asks in Bava Basra Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says there, on three people, lo sholat bahem Yetzahara. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Yetzahara had no control over them. V'yeshoimrim af David. There are those that say David HaMelech also. Says Tosfos, ein lefarish lo sholat klal. It doesn't mean that the Yetzahara had no dominion over them at all. Im kein hechi kiblu agra. How were they able to get reward? Ela kidyamina b'masech de Yuma. Rather, the pshat and the gemara is like we said in Yuma. Kevin d'avro adam roiv shenoisa v'loichota shuvei noichotei. If a person went through the majority of his days without doing an Avera, he will not do an Avera afterwards. V'hochinami, kevon shiroa ha-kodish baruch hu ba'ovois ha-oilom u-bedovid, shayu doich kinatzmom kol kach l'hisrachek min ha-avera. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the tremendous effort that the Ovois and David HaMelech put in, and not to do an Avera, Sayyam HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikan ve'elech shloi sholat bohem yetzahara. They received Siyata Dishmaya afterwards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they would always conquer the Yetzahara. And the understanding of Tosfos is that if a person puts himself in a situation where he has no choice but to do an Avera, he's responsible for putting himself in that situation. Halacha is, if you make yourself into an oines, let's say you put yourself in a situation, you go on a boat right before Shabbos, and if Shabbos comes, you have to mechal Shabbos, you're chayef. If you do something to put yourself in a situation that you have no choice, then you really had a choice. If a person makes himself an Avera addict, then even though while he's so addicted, so habituated into his Averis, he really has no choice anymore. You know, there's some people that are so involved in Averis that they mamish have no choice. The Gemara says, Nasus loy keheter. It's mamish as if they don't even feel it's an Avera anymore. It's famous Mordechai that says people, some mesachkim bekuvya, some gamblers, they poshut can't control themselves. They just lose their ability to resist. They just have to do it. So why is a person chayiv then? Says the Prima Godim that the pshat is, he's the chayiv because of dina de garmi. The halach is that if you know, let's say you open up somebody's window in his house in a raging storm, and the water comes in and floods the person's house in such a way that when you opened the window, it was inevitable that that's what would happen. You're obligated, even though you didn't actually damage the house in Hilchas Mazik, but you did something that would invariably damage the house. It's called Dina de Garmi. You're obligated for what happens as a result of your actions. Not only your actions. And so, says the Prima Godim, when a person started getting his addiction to Averis, when he still had the ability to resist, he didn't resist. He's responsible for everything that is the result of those actions. He's not only responsible for his actions, he's responsible for the result. And the result of his actions are all these sins that he's doing now. So too, Tosfos is saying, Mida Toiva Meruba, that when a person puts in such effort against the Yetzirah, and he becomes, so to speak, a Yetzer Toiv addict, he's addicted to mitzvahs, and he no longer has the Yetzirah, person gets schar for that too. Az Dina de Garmi. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu swoops in and helps him the second half of his life, or after the majority of his life is finished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swoops him as reward and make sure he doesn't do Averis. And so, this brings us to a famous machloikis in many svarim. The earliest place that I could think of where it has it is in the Sefer Hegyon HaNefesh of Rabbi Avram Bar Chiya HaNossi. The shaila is, which type of tzaddik is bigger? Tzaddik A, that has no taiva for Olam Hazeh at all. Or two, a tzaddik that has taivas for Olam Hazeh, but he's constantly conquering them, and he prevents himself from doing anything. There are two types of tzaddikim. Says Rabbi Avram Bar Chiya, the first one is Geder Ruach Shefela. That's Ruach Shefela. A person doesn't have a big Yetzirah. Maybe a person could be born like that. A person could be born with mamish like a tzaddik. Look at Yaakov and Esav, the Me'imom. Yaakov was already a tzaddik and Esav was already a rasha. Their starting point was way down the road. Their bechira consisted of taking themselves from that point and going further. But they started way beyond where regular people start, in either direction. That's Ruach Shefela, he says. There's such type tzaddikim. Secondly, there's other type of tzaddik that's together Leiv Nidchoyim. A tzaddik that constantly fighting his Yetzirah. Says Rabbi Avram Bar Chiya that there's a machloikis in Chazal, which one is greater? Machloikis. And take a look in Shari Tshuva, Sharhei Oischof, you'll see something about this as well. But that's what he says, Rabbi Avram Bar Chiya, there's a machloikis, which type of tzaddik is bigger. Now, the Rambam, in Shmoina Prokim, discusses this, and he has sort of a compromise. He says it depends what type of Yetzirah we're talking about. He says that mitzvahs, that the seichel is mechayev, a person should not have a Yetzirah for that. In other words, there are certain mitzvahs that know that the mitzvahs that are simple seichel, and not stealing, not killing, mitzvahs like that. There's no question that if somebody has a Yetzirah to be a Reitzeach, or Yetzirah to be a Ganav, there's no question that it's a wonderful thing if a person resists, but it's better if a person just doesn't have the Yetzirah, he's on a higher level. That person has no taivet to be a Reitzeach, no taivet to be a Gazlan. However, the other mitzvahs, where the seichel is not mechayev them, let's say, not to wear shatnas. If a person has the Yetzirah and resists, he's on a higher level. Reason is because there's no logic that tells us not to have a Yetzirah. There's no logical reason not to have a Yetzirah for shatnas. But there's a logical reason not to have a Yetzirah for Genev and Ritzicha. And if a person has the Yetzirah, he didn't reach that level that the Seichel is Machayev. Now there's Yismach Moshe, who brings this Rambam, and he also brings different Chazals that would support both sides. First, there's a Sifro, Al Yoimer Odom Yefshi Bebosar Chazir. It says Mefurish in Chazal that a person should not say, I don't like pork, but rather I'm not eating pork only because Hashem said not to. So there it's clear, it's mashma, that it's better to be somebody that always fights his Yetzirah. But on the other hand, the Gemara in Bava Basra that we mentioned just before, Dovid HaMelech and Avram Avinu are praised, and the Avos, they're praised for not having a Yetzirah. Which would seem to support those that hold that it's better not to have the Yetzirah. Because when they're being praised for not having a Yetzirah, it means all Yetziraras, even the Yetzirah for Shatnas, and they're being praised for it. So he says, the Yismach Moshe, Eilu ve'ilu divrei Elokim Chaim, it's not a stira. Because it depends. At the beginning of a person's career in this world, at the beginning when a person does mitzvahs, it's much better if he would resist his Yetzirah. Simply because of Funsara Agra. A person is not expected to be a malach, and it's not good if a person's a malach. Kavod Hashem comes, Kvod Shamayim happens when a person resists the Yetzirah. Hashem doesn't need more rocks. Hashem doesn't need more malachim. So where is it true? Where do we apply the rule of Libi Cholol Bekirbi, of Matzosi Es Levovoi Nemon Lefanecha, that it's better a person is praised if he doesn't have the Eitzahara? He says that's later on in his career. He says if a human being makes himself into a malach, if after, let's say, Rav Shnoisov, or after X amount of time, he knocks the Yetzirah out, so that's a higher madrega than somebody who's continuously fighting, who's perennially, who's always fighting his Yetzirah. Because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does get covered from those who make themselves into malachim. The only time that a malach is not a kvod shemayim as much as a human is if he was created a malach. But if somebody takes his humanness and he breaks it and makes himself into a malach, then it's a greater kvod shemayim. So he says, not a steer in Chazal's the Yismach Moshe. And the Tosfos that we mentioned before supports this as well. Now there's a Shemi Shmuel that has a kash on Ramban. The Ramban says that Adam HaRishon, Koidim HaChet, he did everything, all mitzvahs naturally. He did everything he was supposed to do by Teva. Smashmi, he wasn't a Baal Bechira. Adam HaRishon, Koidim HaChet, the Ramban says, did all the mitzvahs, did all the right things by nature. Smashmi wasn't a Baal Bechira. But the question is, if he wasn't a Baal Bechira, number one, how did he do an Avera? Only Baal Bechira can do an Avera. And number two, it's mashma elsewhere that he was a Baal Bechira. Because it says, Nas Adam Kitzalmenu Kidmusenu. What does it mean, Bitzalam Aleikim? Bechira. Who was that pasuk referring to? Adam HaRishon. It's referring to Bechira. To do whatever he wants, it's not possible to say a person's a Baal Bechira, for instance, if you give him a choice between taking a gold nugget versus sticking his hand in a burning fire. So I'm going to give you Bechira. Here are your choices. Take this big gold bar, it's worth, I don't know, $50,000, or stick your hand into this fire, into this oven. It's your choice to do whatever you want. No problem. Theoretically, a person can do whatever he wants, but you can't call a person like that a Baal Bechira. So too, really human beings should not be Baalei Bechira. Because what is the Bechira between? A mitzvah or an Avera? What's a mitzvah? This is not $50,000. Mitzvah is Gan Eden. But what's an Avera? An Avera is not just your hand burning. It's Gehenim. So how in the world do we have Bechira if we're choosing between... Go ahead, choose, it says. Choose between Gan Eden and Gehenim. It says the B'Shem Yishmuel that the only reason why human beings have Bechira... I mean, they have Bechira because they can do whatever they want, but the only reason it's considered real Bechira is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blinds their eyes. We live in Olam Hazeh. And a person doesn't see Bechush, the fact that the Aveira is the burning oven and the mitzvah is the gold. Inside he knows. But because he's blind, B'shas he's doing the Aveira or before, when B'shas he chooses to do the Aveira, that's what gives him the Bechira. Yismach Moshe said a similar word. He asks, how is it possible for a person who has emunah to do an Aveira? A person believes in Hashem. He can still do Averis, right? How is that possible? A person knows that by doing an Aveira, he's going to go to Gehenna, and by doing a mitzvah, he's going to go to Gan Eden. Says the Yismach Moshe, that's pshat, Ein odem choyte elam kein nichnis boi roch shtus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on HaShoyte there's no kashas, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu injects within a person a ruach shtus in order to even out the playing field so that he doesn't make a rational decision, or the decision has to be rational only on a 50-50 level in order to maintain the Bechira. What he calls ruach shtus, what the Yismach Moshe calls ruach shtus, the Shem Yishmuel is talking about blindness. But it's the same idea.
Says the Shem Yishmuel, Adam HaRishon had Bechira and he didn't have Bechira. It's not a stira. Adam HaRishon, of course, had Bechira. That's Tzelem Elokim. He was able to do whatever he wanted. However, Adam HaRishon's eyes were open so much that everything that he chose to do by nature. It's not a stira to the Ramban. Because Adam HaRishon looked at a mitzvah like gold nuggets, and he looked at Averas like burning ovens. So of course he had Bechira, but it's not a stira to say that he did everything by nature, because if a person's on that level of understanding, that level of clarity, he's going to theoretically have Bechira, but in actuality, it's not going to make any difference, because he's always going to choose the mitzvah over the Avera. And this could be Miyash of the Chazals. This that it says by David, Libi Cholol Bekirbi, and by Avram Avinu, that he transformed his Yetzahor into a Yetzah Toiv, that they were praised, that they didn't have any Netiyah towards Ra, they didn't have any Yetzahor. It doesn't mean that they didn't have Bechira Be'etzem. We're going to be Miyash of the Kasha, the Rambam's Kasha, the Rabbi Avram Barchiya's Kasha, the Yismach Moshe's Kasha, a different way. It doesn't mean that they didn't have Bechira Be'etzem. Of course they had Bechira. And it's much better to have Bechira. Like it says, Al Yomir Odom Yefshi Bebosachaza. But rather, they had Bechira, but their eyes were open so much, they had a level of clarity, that doing an Avera to them was like eating burning coals. That's what it means when it says that libichol bekirbi, or eslavovoi nemon lefonecho, that they didn't have an atiyah towards Ra. He says, David HaMelech's feet brought him towards the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis Medrash. That's fine. You try walking into a Kivshin Ha'esh and see where your legs bring you. There's a natural natiya. As soon as you walk in, you feel your heart beating. What kind of meshugan are you, say? You're walking, you feel your body's natural survival instincts make you run away from there. That's what happened to David HaMelech when he tried to go to the street. He understood what it was, and his body's natural survival instincts, his legs, schlepped him to the base of medicine, base of Knesset, said, get out of there, David HaMelech. But of course he had Bechira. That's like Odom HaRishon Koidem Achet. Therefore, it's not shver what it says, Yefshi Yodam Abosa Chazir. Because this, that the Gemara says that a person shouldn't say, I don't refrain from Chazir because I hate it, doesn't mean because of the clarity. It means that a person, it's a lower level if a person doesn't have any taiva for the Chazir. David HaMelech had the same taiva for the Chazir as anybody else. But tell me, you have a taiva for a Chazir. What if all the Chazir, you get food poisoning? That's not a Yefshi Bebosa Chazer. That means I understand, because I'm such a high madrega, that even though I have a taiva for a Chazer, you got to be a fool to eat the Chazer anyway. So you can have Bechira, you can have all the taivas in the world, but you don't go into the category of a Yefshi Bebosa Chazer, because you have all the taivas. And you could resist, you could have no desire to eat the chazir, but you're still not in the category of the Yefshi Bebosa Chazir because you have the taivas. That Gemara is talking about a guy that pasha doesn't have any taivas. That's not a good thing. But if you raise yourself to the madrega, where your vision is such that you have no, you're always going to make the right choice, then Chazal's not talking about that. It's miyash of the stira. So these great people that broke their Yetzirah is not a stira to Yefshi Bebosa Chazir. Because they still had the Yetzirah. Just, they were wise enough always to make the right decision. It's very simple. Making the right decision, doing mitzvahs and not averis, is a madrega in chokhmah, simply making the right decision. And for somebody whose chushim are all involved in making the right decision, they're all in sync with his mind, it's not a problem. And that's what these people were. Now at this point, we'll take questions on this subject or any subject. Yes?
I have no time for the I don't have to resist the
Well, your past McDonald's means nothing to you. Two things. Number one, you should be very happy because you don't know if it would mean something to you if you would go there or not. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his benevolence made sure that Reb Yitzchak has no taiva for McDonald's. And you should thank Hashem for that. Because we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we every day, he wrote something that you should not bring me HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tavieni loyli de nisoyin. We don't want nisyonis. The question is, you take somebody who does have a taiva to go into McDonald's. And he resists and he doesn't. So there's no question that he gets more reward because Lefum Sara Agra. But who's on a higher madrega? We know when we talk about who's on a higher madrega, we don't mean who gets more reward. That there's no question, Lefum Sara Agra. A person gets more reward if he resists. But you could be on a higher madrega and get less reward, even be less righteous. The Rambam says everybody could be a tzaddik as big as Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That means even if you're in Olam Hazeh, Bizman Hazeh, you could be a tzaddik as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't mean you're going to be zoicha to all the madregas Moshe Rabbeinu had. You know the famous story where Reb Chaim Vital asked the Arizal, he said, Rebbe, the Tanoyim and the Amoroyim, these great madregas, people on such great madregas, they did so many mitzvahs, so many masim toivim, and yet the Gula Shlema didn't come in their days. How is it possible for it to come in our days? And the Arizal said, you should know that one little act of mitzvah, one little maisa mitzvah, bizman hazeh, is worth a lot more than it was then because of the Tumah, that's all around the world now because of the Niskatnu Hadoiris. It's much harder, Bizman Hazeh. So there are two measurements here. There are two yardsticks. There's the yardstick of the Arizal's statement that a mitzvah, Bizman Hazeh, is worth a lot more. And B, there's the yardstick of Reb Chaim Vital's Kasha, that even though a mitzvah is worth a lot more, they were much higher madrega in the olden days. So when we say that there's a machloikis, where Rav Rambachia says there's a machloikis, which is a higher madrega, he's not talking about who gets more reward. That there's no suffix. Lefum Tzara Agra. He's not talking about the Arizal's Teretz. He's talking about Reb Chaim Vital's Kasha. In Hilchus, Reb Chaim Vital's Kasha, in the place in Shulchan Aruch where it says the Tanoim and Amoraim were in a higher madrega than the Achroinim. Even though one Maisa Mitzvah by the Achroinim is worth more than an equal Mitzvah there, in that place in Shulchan Aruch, who's greater? The one who doesn't have to resist or the one that has to and does? That's the Shaila. But there's no question that the person that has to resist is on gets more reward. He's on a high Madrega of Schar. And therefore, it's true that you don't get reward for going in, but you should be happy, because we don't want nisyonis. We'd rather do the Ratzon Hashem, because we're not here for the schar. It's not worth the risk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us plenty of nisyonis. Don't feel bad that this is one you don't have. There are plenty of nisyonis that He gives us, and He gives every single person in the nisyonis that are perfect for Him. The kids that come out of Russia, and they walk down Mare Avenue, they do have the nisyon to walk into McDonald's. That's their job in this world. We have our job. Everybody has nisyonis on their level. Don't ask for more. Any other questions? Yeah.
Neshamas and the neshama could change, and the neshama is my identity. So my identity is constantly changing. You're not looking at the same person.
Well, question.
And more neshama and less neshama.
Well, neshama right. Well, question. I'm getting an identity crisis. I have so many neshamas. They're coming. They're going. So what happened to me? So the answer is that not every neshama or not every part of the neshama that you have impacts on your identity, on who you are. The neshama hal yoina does not impact on your identity.
The purpose of the Neshama HaLyoina, and we're going to see this when we get to Chelek Gimel, at the beginning of Chelek Gimel of Derech Hashem, which is a discussion all about the nature of a Neshama. So here he's talking about, just in this paragraph, he talks about the Neshama in this paragraph, he's talking about the human beings, humankind, Min HaAnoishi. In Chelek Gimel, he speaks about the neshama specifically, so it's much more barichus. There he mentions the different types of neshama, different parts of the neshama. Not all parts of the neshama impact upon who you are. The neshama ha'elyona is there for one purpose and one purpose only. It is like a scoreboard, so to speak. It registers all the mitzvahs that you do, and it registers all the averis if somebody does. And its only purpose is to make a person merit Olam Haba, and that's it. You cannot feel it. It goes, it comes. On Shabbos, you have a Neshama Yisera. And Motzei Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera leaves. Does that mean the person changed? No. The Neshama Yisera is like the Neshama HaElyona. It is a Neshama HaElyona. It comes, it goes. All these Neshamas that come, they go. It doesn't change you who you are. You're not asking me about Gilgulim and that you're another person. That's not the question. Your identity lies in your ruach. Not in the neshama hal yoina. Your identity lies in your nefesh habahamis. Even though, like we said, the nefesh habahamis, the guf is just a lavush. It's not the person. But the ruach of a person, that thing between the nefesh habahamis and the nefesh ha'olyoina and the ruach, that's your identity. The nefesh habahamis pulls you one way, the neshama ha'olyoina pulls you the other way. You want to know who you are in the tug of war. There's the neshama, there's the guf, they're pulling it. You know where you are? You're the rope. And you, here the rope can pull back. And you could pull the neshama one way. It is your neshama. It is your nefesh. You could pull it both ways. That's really where your identity is. You don't change the person who you are. You change the level of holiness, the level of connection to Hashem, but the part of your neshama that makes you you as opposed to me, that stays where it is. That stays where it is. The word neshama, you're right, it is confusing a bit because the way we talk, we say neshama, we say ruach, we say nefesh, but here's, when we're talking literal, the legal meaning of the terms. Nefesh applies to all life. Nefesh kol chai v'ruach kol besarish. The word neshama in Tanakh, you will never find referring to animals. Whenever it refers to animals or life, it refers to them as nefesh. In fact, the word nefesh means generically just a person. Shivim nefesh. Doesn't mean the neshama, just means a person. Any animation, anything that makes something move, anything that's a life force, it means a nefesh. So Rashi in Chulin about the little translation of nefesh, like from Vayi Nofash, but the word neshama, never ever you will find the phrase in a neshama of an animal. No such thing. You won't find such a thing. It only applies to humans. And again, regarding what if it applies to a goy or to a yid, it'll be homonyms. The word neshama theoretically applies to both, but it's not the same neshama. We're going to go into that later. So there's a Gemara that has a machloikis, different shitas, and havmin a maskana, what's considered an amhoretz. Bizman hazeh, amhoretz in all times depends upon a person's potential to know, because compared to Tanayim and Amraim, we're all amaratzim. But that doesn't mean we all don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. It's compared to the potential that you can do. If you can, it's all, Mamoretz all depends upon theoretically. A person has to know a minimum amount of Torah, it's not a quantifiable thing. But however much Torah you have, that's how much Gan Eden you're going to get. If you have a little Torah, you get a little Gan Eden. If you have a lot of Torah, you're going to have a lot of Gan Eden. The way it works is that the mitzvahs enable your body to physically accept the reward, to be a keli that can contain the reward, but the reward itself depends upon the amount of Torah that you have. So it's all relative. Is it possible for a person to be a big Talmud Chacham and not fear Hashem? Yeah. You're sure? Talmud Chacham Shein Boideya? Nevei L'toiva Mimenu. That's what it says. Talmud Chacham, there's no Deya. Deya over here means knowledge of Hashem, connection, and Nevei L'toiva Mimenu. Sure, we don't consider that person a Talmud Chacham either. We consider him a Chamor Noisei Sforim. Somebody that is like an animal, a donkey, that carries Sforim. In Pirkei Avos, in several places, you'll find Chochmosay Meruba Mimaisov. But it is definitely possible. Person has Bechira. The fact that a person knows a lot of Torah, we don't want to call him a Talmud Chacham, but the fact that a person is a big scholar in Torah information doesn't mean he loses his Bechira. There's no question that it's a lot easier for a Talmud Chacham to be Yorei Shemayim, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, than for an Am Haaretz. However, he doesn't lose his Bechira. It's definitely possible. He can even be an Apikairis, even if he knows stuff. He could be a Torah scholar, he could be an Apikairis. He can do whatever he wants. Still has Bechira. Yitzchak. Well, question. We said that David HaMelech was on the Madrega where Libi Cholol Bekirbi, he had no netiyas towards evil. Question. I assume you're referring to the incident of David and Bathsheba. Isn't that because David HaMelech gave in to his Yetzer Hara? The answer is no. There is no Aveira that you could point to me and tell me that David HaMelech did in that entire incident. Bathsheba was divorced. The Gemara says that any soldier that went to David HaMelech's army gave his wife a get, lest he be missing in battle. This, that he killed Uriah Hachiti was Chayef Misa because he was a Moirid B'Malchus. They said Adoni Yoyev, who killed Avner Ben Ner. He was Chayef Misa, and David HaMelech did him a big favor, that instead of giving him the death of a Moirid B'Malchus and having him executed, he gave him a hero's death in the front lines. And David HaMelech saw the poor Almona and did her a favor and made her into a queen. David HaMelech did no Aveira at all. The only thing is that when Nosson HaNovi came, deep inside, David HaMelech should have done it in a way that looked a bit more, you never know deep down, it should have looked a bit more different. But an Aveira, it wasn't an Aveira at all. You see, we have to understand that when we read Tanakh is not a collection of historical events. Tanakh is a Musar Sefer. It's not a history Sefer. And imagine if somebody would be writing a Musar Sefer covering that episode of David and Bathsheba. He said, what could we learn from this episode? Just Musar. Never mind any historical account.
He would write that even though Dovid HaMelech was 100% clean, it was done in a way that somebody might think something, and you never know deep down what a person's thinking, what kind of mistakes a person can make, and you're going to magnify the bad, you're going to focus on the chut hasara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbid when tzaddikim do things. And imagine if you were hired by Dovid HaMelech to give him Musar. Like the Vilna Gaon hired the Dubna Magid to give him Musar. It's a very hard job to give Dovid HaMelech Musar. What are you going to tell him already? You're going to give, but you have to work very, very hard. And you say, look, Dovid HaMelech hired me to give him Musar. I have to look hard and work hard, and you're up nights breaking your head. What Musar can I give Dovid HaMelech? You'll tell him something like what Nelson Hanavi told him, that Dovid HaMelech, you know deep down how it looks, or you know deep down you never know if there's a fraction of a brain cell that had a Yetzirah or something, even though technically, even though in court Dovid HaMelech is 100% innocent. 100% innocent. It's a big mitzvah that he did. But a person like Dovid HaMelech, who had no yet no netiyah towards Ra, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at him mamish kechut hasara mamish, to be as perfect a person that he could be. And if there's a little way to improve, that's already something for the Navi Nosson to give him musar for. No, it's before. Absolutely. Absolutely, Uriah gave his wife a get. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just having to not sure I understand the reconciled situation where he feels that like Adam for the Chet, where he had the time for it, but yet it's still clear that it's like fire.
Question. Please clarify the situation of Adam HaRishon Koidem Achet, who had a taiva, but it was so clear that it wasn't a taiva. Was there or wasn't there? It's very simple. Do you like ice cream? You like chocolate ice cream? Okay. With whipped cream on top? Hot fudge. I give you the most tempting hot fudge chocolate sundae with whipped cream. Suddenly your mouth's going to water and you're going to want it. And then I tell you, you know what? It's poison. Doesn't take away the taiva. But because you know the poison's there, you're not going to, your mouth is still going to water. But it's not going to matter to you anymore, because there's no way you're going to do such a stupid thing. A person can have a taiva for something, a temptation. You want to rob a bank. Somebody has a taiva to rob a bank. It happens. Somebody has a taiva for money, and they see maybe the armored car passing by, and the bags of money being transferred from the armored car into the bank, and a guy sitting there, and then knows, the guy with a taiva for such things, you know, and he has his gun already, and his Yetzihara comes and he says, take the money. But then he sees the security guards that have bigger guns than he does, and the video cameras, and he knows if he does it, he's going to get caught. You think suddenly he became such a tzaddik, he doesn't have a taiva for money? He still has the same taiva for money. It's just that it's a decision, I'm not going to do such a stupid thing. The vision to be able to see in every Avera, the video camera, and the vision to be able to see the poison in the hot fudge sundae, that's a madrega in clarity. It's not a getting rid of a taiva. So Adam HaRishon, his schar involved, he didn't get schar for resisting. He had Bechira. He got Schar. Adam HaRishon's Schar came for a different reason. Adam HaRishon's Nisyonis, besides doing it, was going up Madrega slowly, go up Madrega high. He had to start from where he was and meet his potential, which was a lot different than us. But as far as his Bechira is concerned, he had perfect Bechira.